Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today, as expected, we are going to be talking about China July sales reports. We do also then have an update on the Cybertruck and the Model S, news on the $1 trillion infrastructure plan, and a couple other stories as well. Not too bad of a day for Tesla stock given the context of the China numbers, which of course we'll talk about in a second, but Tesla finishing down about 0.5% to $709.99. The Nasdaq was also down about 0.5%. So all in all, a pretty quiet day for the stock, and that low volume that we have been seeing continues, about 13 million shares trading today. Two of the last four trading days have been the lowest volume days that we have seen in about a year and a half. All right, so let's talk about those China numbers which came out overnight here in the US. These can be a little bit confusing in terms of what they actually mean, so we'll talk about that, but the first set of numbers that we got was reported from Xinchuxing, which I'm sure I'm butchering the pronunciation of, but that report put China July sales for Tesla at 8,998, comprised of 6,601 Model 3 and 2,397 Model Y. Obviously, those numbers are down quite a bit from June levels. It looks a little bit concerning at first, but shortly after that came out, we did get the report from the CPCA. So these are usually the numbers we're talking about. That's the China Passenger Car Association, which, while they're not Tesla official numbers, they have seemed to be pretty accurate in the past. So the CPCA numbers put the July sales in China at a little bit lower, so those are referred to as retail sales. CPCA puts that at 8,600, but importantly, they did also report on exports, which they put at 24,347. So adding exports to those retail domestic sales puts what they refer to as wholesale sales at 32,968 vehicles in July. So for context here, I've started tracking all these numbers in a spreadsheet. You can see across the top, I've got retail sales and then export. Those sum up to be wholesale sales. And then separately from that, we have production. So as I always talk about, production to me is the most important number. Usually we don't get that until about 3 or 4 weeks after that specific month ends. So you can see that in July, retail sales or domestic sales really significantly dropped off from where they have been so far this year. If you're wondering about those little red arrows, those are just inserted comments for me because CPCA didn't give us a breakdown between Model 3 and Model Y. So I'm just using the percentage breakdown from that Xinchuxing report, but applying that to the CPCA total. Anyway, if we hop over to export, we can see that export in July was by far the highest of any month ever. And summing those up, retail and export to get to wholesale, that gets us to 33,000 as mentioned. That's pretty similar to the levels of May and June. It's down about 0.5% from June. So nothing too crazy there, and that higher export number was to be expected. Remember, Tesla in their Q2 shareholder letter noted, quote, "Due to strong US demand and global average cost optimization, we have completed the transition of Gigafactory Shanghai as the primary vehicle export hub," end quote. With that being the case, and with July being the first month of the quarter, Tesla is going to prioritize exports because those take longer to go through the logistics process of delivery. So if you export in the last month of the quarter, it's probably not going to hit that same quarter versus domestic deliveries could. So nothing unusual there, and I'm sure as we get into September, we're going to see that situation flip entirely. I know we're all looking for signals on the strength of the market in China with all that we've been talking about over the last few months, but I don't think this really gives us too much information one way or the other. I think maybe all that we could take away from that in terms of China demand is to pair those low domestic sales with the estimated delivery timelines that we had seen in the China Design Studio throughout July, and generally those were about 1 to 3 weeks for both the Model 3 and the long-range Model Y. For those wait times to have been so short, despite the low amount of deliveries in China in July, certainly doesn't paint a picture of strong demand. However, we have seen Tesla take action in terms of lowering the price on the standard range Model 3 and introducing the standard range Model Y. So it looks like wait times now for the Model 3 are up to 4 to 6 weeks. The long range Model Y is still 1 to 3 weeks, and the standard range Model Y still just says delivery is expected to begin in August, so we don't have much information on wait times there. Again, not really something I'm worried about, just something that we'll continue to watch as we get more information. Anyway, let's hop back to that spreadsheet just for a second. So setting aside the retail and export difference, wholesale sales 33,000, that gives us our best insight into what production might be. So I've got that last little section here that shows production versus wholesale. You can see the differences there. Generally, it's a few thousand units, either higher or lower. But if we look at January and April, both the opening month of a quarter, so a higher percentage of exports, in both of those cases, production did exceed the wholesale sales number. It's possible that that is a likely outcome from just how the reporting is handled. April is particularly interesting because it was the month that had previously seen the highest amount of exports, and it also happened to see the highest difference between production and wholesale sales at about 4,600 units. You can also see that it was coming off of a negative spread, so lower production than wholesale sales from March, we have that same situation again happening in June. Now, to be fair, the difference in March was bigger, so that could have affected April. But on the other side of that, we do have more exports there in July. So it wouldn't surprise me if there were a few thousand vehicles here that had been produced that are not getting captured in the wholesale sales number for July. If that's the case, and we see a similar difference between production and wholesale sales as we saw in April in July, that type of a difference would put Tesla above 37,000 units produced, and that would be a record month of production. So I'm not necessarily expecting that. I think probably somewhere in the 35,000 range is more realistic, but it's definitely not out of the question. The last comment I'll make on the China numbers that we got today is I've seen a lot of people out there saying, oh, you should never compare July numbers to June numbers. You should only compare July with the first month of previous quarters, so January and April. I just want to add a note of caution to that line of thought. As Tesla ramps up production, that month-over-month comparison is still important. You just need to understand the context of what's going on with exports versus domestic sales. If you're looking at those individually, yes, the month-over-month is pretty much meaningless, but if you're combining them and looking at wholesale, that sort of a disclaimer, while not necessarily meaningless, is just not as important because you're already capturing most of that batching effect by including export in that total. So I saw a ton of hand-waving away any sort of comparisons to June today because of that quarterly batching, which is totally fine if you're looking at the China domestic sales, but I saw people using it for wholesale sales too, a lot. So I'm just worried that people are kind of overextending something that doesn't necessarily apply very much. So for me, yes, if I'm looking at retail sales, I'll compare it to January and April, but if I'm looking at wholesale sales, I'd prefer to compare July to June. While we are wrapping up with China, probably also important to note that Elon did reply to a Clean Technica article today suggesting that Tesla's production rate is near 450,000 per year for Giga Shanghai. Elon replied saying, quote, important to bear in mind that production is as fast as the slowest part out of about 10,000 unique parts in a car, end quote. Of course, he's talked about this on the earnings call and elsewhere in the past, but perhaps a reason that he's reiterating that here. All right, next up, we've got updates on timing for both the Cybertruck and the Model S. We'll start with the Cybertruck. This happened this weekend, but kind of lost it in the shuffle with the impact report yesterday. But Tesla has now changed the language on the Cybertruck order page, where previously it said that production was expected to start late in 2021 for the tri-motor all-wheel drive version. It now reads, quote, you will be able to complete your configuration as production nears in 2022, end quote. So I don't think anyone should be surprised by that, especially after Elon Musk's comments on the Q2 earnings call to that specific question, and given the fact that there's only 4.5 months now left in 2021. I do also find the wording that they used here to be pretty interesting. They say, as production nears in 2022, that doesn't even necessarily mean production in 2022. Now, I'm sure that's what Tesla is targeting, that's what they hope, but they do seem to be giving themselves a little bit of an out there with that wording. Obviously, we've got pretty limited information right now, and we'll continue to keep an eye on things, but I think at this point, I'd probably be a little bit more surprised if there is a delivery of a Cybertruck in the first half of next year than if the first delivery were to come sometime after that. All right, moving on to the Model S, we had previously talked about just keeping an eye on how communication is progressing there for order holders. As it relates to expected delivery dates, they've been shifting around quite a lot, and it looks like today a lot of that shifting has continued. So many order holders on Tesla Motors Club forum today reporting that they have updates to their delivery window, and unfortunately a lot of them have reported that their delivery window has moved out all the way to February. So it's a little bit unclear on what's causing that. There's talk of maybe it's the 19-inch wheels, maybe it's the white interior, maybe it's carbon fiber trim, but whatever it is, certainly not good news for those order holders. Now, other people had time frame updates too. Not everything got pushed back to February or anything like that. From what I could tell, it looked like some of the other estimates had been pushed out maybe a couple of weeks. So when we think about Q3 production and delivery numbers, I think the question is, okay, is this a vehicle production problem or is it just a part supply problem for a specific set of configurations? If it's the latter, that's not going to impact Tesla's total production. Obviously, it's bad for those customers. But if it's the former, then maybe we don't see the Model S numbers that we're looking for in Q3. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. And thank you to those of you that have updated me on your orders. Even if I haven't had time to respond, I do appreciate that. Next here, we've got an update on the $1 trillion infrastructure bill. It was put to a vote in the Senate today and passed with a vote of 69-30, so a decent amount of Republicans voting yes on that bill as well. Now remember, this is the infrastructure bill, not the spending bill, so this doesn't include anything about the electric vehicle tax credit, but it does include $7.5 billion for electric vehicle charging. With this bill passing in the Senate, it will now move over to the House of Representatives, but despite that strong vote in the Senate, it may still take a while to work through the House, as Speaker Nancy Pelosi and others have said that they won't vote on this bill until and if the Senate passes a larger spending bill. So the New York Times report on this says that that could put the infrastructure bill on hold for weeks, if not months. We'll continue to keep an eye out on that. Last couple of quick hitters here. So first one, this is an Elon Musk reply to a tweet yesterday from Alex Voigt, who shared a comment from Porsche CEO saying that the concept of the Porsche 911 doesn't allow for it to be a pure electric vehicle because you've got the engine in the rear, and if the weight of the battery were moved to the rear, you couldn't drive the car. Quote, for this decade, it's very clear to me that the 911 will be a car with an internal combustion engine, end quote. So Elon came across that and simply replied with 2! I guess Porsche doesn't really feel like there's room on the floor for that to happen on a vehicle like the 911, or that there's not another solution to be found with batteries. Seems like Elon probably disagrees. Last item here, and then I do have a scheduling update as well, and also it's starting to rain super hard, so sorry if you can hear that in the background. But we do have some news out of Austin that the Boring Company has met with the city of Austin to discuss a potential tunnel between the Gigafactory and downtown Austin that would also connect to the Austin International Airport. Probably some of the least surprising Boring Company news we could have, but hopefully that'll happen. It also sounds like the Boring Company is discussing something similar with San Antonio. As for the scheduling update, it is wedding season, and I do have a bachelor party to go to this week in Nashville, so I'm heading down there Wednesday night. Wednesday episode should still be normal. Thursday, I'm kind of playing by ear. I may just do a live stream on Thursday, and then Friday, I'll for sure have to be off. So just wanted to give you guys a heads up on that. But that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Thanks for bearing with me through the rain here at the end. If you do want to subscribe, you can do that. You can also sign up for notifications. You can find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, August 11th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.